the other rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door, your running's over, that's for sure.
This episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And today, we're going to be continuing the 1 millionth and 10th episode, State versus Peterson. And the only reason, you know, it's just so much shit that I got into when I went down the wormhole and that's never been released to the public. And I'm really getting into the meat of the matter now on Detective Craig Grogan. And we've been in it this long and a lot of them, 99% of y'all are listening. So I'm not going to sell you short, but when this ends, I have old school stories lined up to tell, but we got to get through this. And it's important. Scorched State versus Peterson, right? Y'all make sure to listen to Justice for Haley. Comes out on Fridays. Share it everywhere. We've already gotten a couple national news interviews, not national, but Atlanta area news interviews and a statement from the district attorney's office and stuff like that. So it's doing what we want it to do. But it's still early, and we just put up on this week's episode, we put up a bunch more body cam videos and stuff that's not on the audio version of the episode that dropped on Friday because it's too much. But that's up for Patreon and convicts, and just go listen to it. And it's really, really an amazing story that needs to be corrected. And we're going to do it as lifers together. And thank you for listening to True Crime Time 4 with Cindy and I. Y'all are loving it. I appreciate that. Y'all check it out. It drops on Mondays, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And with that, let's get back into the story, okay? When I left you last, I was talking about Detective Grogan, but we're going to Tuesday, the 28th of September in 2004. And it's prosecution witness 159 again, Detective Craig Grogan with the Modesto Police Department. Well, the defense attorney Gargos is cross-examining Grogan now, right? Trying to tear him up piece by piece. And this is where it gets good. And he did it again for the entire day. But at 10:16 a.m. in the morning, the court was like, we got to take a recess because they thought there was an earthquake. And guess what? The judge was right. There was a 5.9 earthquake that hit the area. I don't know that much about earthquakes, but I wouldn't think that any earthquake was good. But this one wasn't that bad because less than an hour later, they reconvened court at 10:48 a.m. So let me tell you some of the testimony, okay? So one police theory was that Scott drug Lacey. all the items that were seized and all the search warrants and everything else and testing that was done, there was no traces of drugs. Okay. All the test results were negative. And another one of the police theories was that Scott must have tied Lacey to tied the boat to a buoy in the bay in order to keep it steady when he dumped Lacey's body. Now, there was red paint found on the boat, and it didn't match any of the buoys in the bay. In the area surrounding the various buoys around Brooks Island where they were found, they were all searched. At least they did that part, right? They searched it, but it's not really a good fucking theory when you can't match the paint up to it. And then somebody testified that look, if you actually tied a boat to a buoy, it would make it more unstable. Y'all, that's kind of scorched. They shouldn't have. I think that's in this entire case, as you can see, I think the prosecution just went too fucking far, right? I mean, do they miss the things that were pertinent, that were going to come up, and yet they spend time like this going out to look at buoys to see if you can match the red paint on the boat? Well, the motherfucker already told you he was in the bay. All he's got to do is say, yeah, I did tie it to a buoy when I was fishing, whatever. All right. So the blue tarp recovered from the bay had dog and cat hairs on it. And in the search warrants they did on February 18th and 19th, Mackenzie, the golden retriever, their golden retriever's hair sample was taken to compare. And guess what? Didn't match to anything. Again, that tarp could have been floating in the bay from anything. So, and the boat cover, which the cops thought Scott had wrapped Lacey up in, it tested negative for anything, blood, urine, feces, fluids, and tissue. I don't know. I don't know about that one. I mean, that's, if I was sitting on the jury, I'd be like, that really doesn't make a fuck one way or another. He still could have wrapped her in there and there'd been no trace of her, right? So again, I think it's too much. It's scorched. And man, you sit on the jury, can you imagine sitting up there for fucking however many months this went on and listening to all this stupid bullshit? Like, what the fuck? Put it together for me, right? And where's the aha moment? And on February the 18th of 2003, Scott was concerned that he was not permitted to view the surveillance tape from the Longview after the clerk said she thought Lacey might have been in the store. And Scott told Grogan that being a family member, he would be better able to identify her than strangers. And he also criticized the cops for releasing photos of his truck and boat under the pretense of wanting to verify his alibi on the 24th, when they already had talked to witnesses and verified. They said, yeah, he was there, right? Some of that shit is just fucking stupid. You're not thinking like chess, how many moves ahead. If I do this, then they're going to come back and get me like this, right? But naturally, he would have been better to identify her. So I get that. The defense also tore Grogan up for spending so much time investigating Scott instead of following up on the other leads. Huge scorch. Absolutely agree. Everything from the drug dens they didn't want to go into to, you know, that burglary shed and everything else. So again, if I'm on the jury, if this time, not because I don't think this motherfucker's guilty, but because the defense is throwing enough shade on my shit that I can't find beyond a reasonable doubt yet. All right. And Dr. Boyd Stevens, who's the medical examiner for the city and the county of San Francisco, and is an expert on tidal actions in the San Fran Bay, he was interviewed by Grogan on April the 2nd of 2003, because he had helped them in determining being the law enforcement where Lacey's body might be, right? The Reports outside of the courtroom are that the prosecution is not going to call Dr. Stevens as a witness because his opinions do not support their theory. Okay, Scorch, why? You did it. You sought him out to be your expert. You don't get the answer that you want, so you're not going to use him. Well, fuck, you think the defense is going to have a field day with that? Under Brady, you got to get you. The defense is getting all the shit that you did or didn't do in this case. Hey, y'all, it's fall, my favorite time of year. You know, I love hunting, traveling to see my grandbaby or go to Wisconsin and spending a precious time with friends and family. I'm so excited to ditch my shorts and flip-flops and upgrade to cozy sweaters and warm leather jackets from Quince. Quince offers affordable, high-quality essentials for any wardrobe. That includes seasonal must-haves like Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $60 and comfortable pants for any occasion. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. And they partner with them directly, cutting out the cost of the middleman and passing the savings to you. That means Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, so you can update your look without breaking the bank. Shopping with Quince is fun and easy. You know, I don't like to shop. That's my wife Cindy's job. But when it comes to picking out my new fall wardrobe additions from Quince, I had to be part of decision making. And it was so easy. I got the fisherman sweater in the alabaster, and I even chose the Mongolian cashmere joggers. They are soft and comfortable. The prices are great, and the quality is even better. I would put any of my new additions up against any luxury brand out there. Upgrade your wardrobe with pieces made to last with Quince. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and the 365-day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Go to quince.com/RLRC.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts to spark joy, wonder, delight, and that's exactly what I want it feeling. Hey, y'all, I ordered a super cool piece. It's a candle with a sculpture of LSU's Tiger Stadium on top of it. And each officially licensed laser-cut wooden replica features up to four layers of detail, creating a bird's-eye view of a specific football field, seating section, and more. And every label includes your stadium's name, the team's logo, and school location. And it has a coconut, soy, vegan wax infused with sandalwood smell that creates tailgates and touchdown scent profile, reminiscent of game day. It's invigorating like fresh-cut grass and nostalgic like smoke from a pre-game grill. In common, like the crisp autumn air of a new semester on campus. Y'all, I love it. I have it at the base of my TV, and I'm ready to watch the Tigers play on Saturday night, right? Uncommon Goods. Look, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts you can personalize. From holiday hosts and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from the book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selection you can just find anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/RLRC. That's uncommongoods.com/RLRC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
And, I mean, you should at least address it that, hey, yeah, we did use him, but for whatever reason, it didn't add up to what we were thinking. But they get busted with it. Again, if I'm on the jury, that's a huge red flag. Also, Grogan got caught with his pants down again. He was not aware that Ron Seltz had a scent dog searching at the marina, a guy named Ron Seltz, searching at the marina on December 28th. along with the guy I told you about, Anderson and Trimble, and his dog did not pick up Lacey's scent, where Trimble did pick up Lacey's scent. Okay, how does the detective not know about this? I'm calling bullshit. Scorch, you knew about it. You just didn't write it down because it didn't fit your fucking narrative. So, again, I'm on the jury. Dude's going to walk. Also, in this first conversation Grogan had with Dr. Peterson, who performed the autopsy on Connor, Peterson said the umbilical cord was not attached, and he was unable to say whether it was cut or it fell off due to decomposition, right? And he couldn't be certain whether the baby was stillborn or born. He could not make a determination of whether the baby had ever even taken a breath, y'all. There was no animal feeding on Connor. I mean, if you're in the bay for that long, don't you think a fish is going to eat on a tender young, I hate to say it like that, but on a tender young flesh? Scott believed the baby fell within the range of 9 months. And when asked by Grogan, if only 7.5 months, he was somewhat a large baby. So they're saying at the autopsy that they're trying to make it, the defense is trying to make it like the Lacey was kidnapped and the baby was kept alive close to term. And you can't say that it wasn't definitively. Even their own guy can't say it. Even though Officer Phillips, who found the target bag at Lacey's body dump, not dump site, but where they recovered her from, he said he smelled decomposition on the bag, similar to the smell of decomposition on Lacey. And he said it in front of two of the Modesto Police Department detectives. That information never made it into any report, and Grogan didn't know about it until a month before the fucking trial. Ooh, don't you think that would have been huge? Again, Grogan. You know, I've seen it. Certainly like to think that I'm not guilty of it, where you try to make the facts fit your narrative. And I've done that, but I've also not missed out on shit like this. I would have an answer for it because I would stay up nights trying to think, okay, well, I got this, but what about this? And I guess that's where the OCD of my brain not turning off comes in. Anyway, moving forward. So Modesto PD investigated this famous duct tape. But they investigated the duct tape on the target bag to see if there was any connection to Scott. But other than that, all the items recovered at the site were not tested for connection to Lacey's murder. Why? Again, this has been a common theme throughout the thing. You take a bunch of shit, but you only test what you want to test. You send it in anyway. You establish the chain of custody and evidence. Fucking test it. This dude's on trial for his life, right? Hey, I'm all about fucking hammering a murderer, and especially a murder of your wife and your baby. But you do it correctly, bro. And you're fucking with this guy's entire life. And if it's truly evil, you want to do it right. So when Kevin Bertolotto did his demonstration to show a woman's that was Lacey size could fit into a toolbox, and a cardboard box had to first be removed from the toolbox, right? So, but it wasn't, but it didn't mean Scott didn't put it in there afterwards. But testimony about the demonstration didn't document the removal of the brown box, and the cardboard box was not taken as evidence. Again, make it fit your narrative. And the contents of the toolbox were not listed prior to the demonstration. Okay. If you think Lacey was in the box, even if she's wrapped in a tarp, test everything in the box, right? If you're going to do a demonstration about it, you got to be prepared for what the fuck the defense is going to say. Scorched. It's just stupid. So the cardboard box had rain gauges with Trade Corp's name, which is the company Scott worked for, and Scott had purchased the rain gauges from Adventures in Advertising, which is a business neighbor, and was owned by Miss Peggy O'Donnell. Now, both O'Donnell and her employee, Rosemary Louise, told the police and when Lacey went missing in December that Lacey used the bathroom at Adventures in Advertising on December the 20th, 2002, which confirmed Scott's story that Lacey was the warehouse that day. All right. Remember the cop said she had never even been there? What the fuck, bro? Go knock on the doors. They might have cameras of her. And you don't even have to bring it up. You can just say, yeah, she was there. So fucking what? But you make a point saying that she wasn't there. But they're making a point that she was there. And again, it throws shade on your shit. Scores. All right. Kim McGregor, who lived on Encina, close to the Petersons, they went into detail about her breaking into the Peterson home on January the 19th of 2003. And the testimony was about the many times she changed her story and also her criminal record prior to her breaking into the house and how well her alibi for December 23rd and 24th was checked and whether her activities during the burglary included moving items of clothing. Okay. Should have been done. If you're going to use her, know about her. Scorch. Now, Garagos went over Grogan a number of the Lacey sightings that were not followed up on. And y'all, this is so fucking stupid. If this doesn't show you confirmational bias that they were seeking. If people call in, they take the time to call in and say, I saw Lacey, go disprove it, right? But they didn't do it, not on all of them. So, and one of them was Grace Wolf, who was lived only two blocks from the Peterson and had seen Lacey walk in McKenzie alone, and both with McKenzie alone and with Scott prior to December 24th. She had talked with Lacey, she had some interaction with her, and she was sure that she saw Lacey on the morning of December 24th. Between 9 and 10 a.m., but probably around 9:30 a.m., okay? That's enough for me right there. I'm done. If she's a believable witness. That's one, y'all. That's one of all the things they scored. And I'm talking about the fucking cops on this one. You know, they should have done their jobs, man. You can always do it and get the bad information and then figure out how to explain it. You know, like, okay, this woman didn't have her glasses on or this woman's crazy or whatever, you know, dig into it, be prepared for it. They were not. This is a death penalty case. Scorch. Some of the other sightings were discussed and one was by the truck driver and a guy named Homer Maldonado and his wife. And basically they weren't followed up on it. And then there was a tip called in by Tom Harshman on December 28th, and it was recorded on the tip sheets. You know, when you call in, what's your name, blah, blah, blah. The way they wrote his name down as Tom Harsh instead of Tom Harshman. Well, you got volunteers doing it. I get it. That was a mistake. But he says, he's the witness that said, a pregnant woman who matched Lacey's description was being forced into a van. Okay. The information from the tip said he saw her 3 to 4 days earlier, which would have been on the 24th. I mean, that's easy to disprove if she didn't go missing to the 26th. And who knows? But the thing is, you got to follow up on it regardless. All right. Scorch. So Grogan continues on Wednesday, September the 29th of 2004. And so back to Tom Harshman, when he wasn't called back, right? He went to the command post and reported what he saw to a Sergeant Cloward, right? And Grogan on redirect. By the prosecution. Grogan noted that the information Harshman gave a year later clearly indicated the sighting was on December 28th. Well, you know what? That's 2 days. That's however many days after. I get that. But I don't know. I mean, it's still, if I'm sitting on the jury, I'm average Joe, it's confusing the fuck out of me. Scorched. They had meetings in the chambers with the judge, and that was to establish a lady named Diane Jackson, that if her information was offered for the truth and not just to interject herself in an investigation. And then moving on, now, or not moving on, but Jackson saw a van in front of 516 Covina, which is the house directly across the street from the Peterson home, at 11:40 a.m. on December the 24th. And this is the lady that said there were dark-skinned men, not African-American, but three dark-skinned, short men, and a safe being removed from the house. Now, that we know this is true, y'all. We know the safe was taken from the house, and can't, they haven't verified the date one way or another, other than the jailhouse phone call, and they're like, fuck, don't talk about that, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they said that Lacey got into altercation with him. I mean, that's, to me, is enough. But Jackson says she at first thought they were landscapers, but usually landscapers will not pay attention to the street traffic. But these guys were. So they're looking around, heads on a swivel, because they're robbing the fucking house. And I get that. That's probably true as fuck, right? On redirect, Grogan noted that Jackson's initial statement did not mention witnessing a burglary or a safe. Okay, well, evidently she says, hey, I saw guys across the street from their house on that morning. Well, I mean, fuck, people change their statements. You go and interview them, they're going to add more to it, right? That's stupid on his part. In November of 2003, Kristen Reed was interviewed by Detective Brocchini, and she told him also that she saw the van on Covina. Hey, ladies, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? Well, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living in our environment right now. It's in your food, your water, the air you breathe, the clothes you wear, your skincare products. They all mess with your hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes. Your body goes through premenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you have to suffer through it. The good news is you don't have to suffer through it anymore because now you have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone support and supplement, it's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Well, my wife says it makes her feel like her own self again. And that's what women mention over and over in the reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code RLRC for 15% off today. That's happymammoth.com and use code RLRC.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, Grogan said that Reed admitted she may have been influenced by media reports. Okay, I'm on the jury, scorched as fuck. I mean, you see where I'm going? This whole fucking thing, other than the people were pissed off about all the phone calls that Scott made, it ain't good. I mean, that because he was banging Amber Fry. So on a January the 30th, 2003, affidavit, which was filed by Jacobson, it said Scott's arrest was already being planned. And Detective Grogan said he could not say on that date the state was planning to arrest Scott. Well, motherfucker, the guy wrote it down. I mean, it's a sworn affidavit. You probably already know that, or I damn well damn to you, you know that y'all were planning on arresting him. What this does is it proves for the defense that Grogan, that Modesto Police Department wasn't following up on all this other shit. They were focused. They had tunnel vision on Scott Peterson. And look, I'm no fan of fucking Scott Peterson, but I'm definitely no fan of the work these motherfuckers have not done in this case. Now, on April 1st, 2003, when he was in Berkeley, Scott called the police to report some teenagers that were doing graffiti. And he gave his name and his contact information. And Garris is trying to say this to prove that Scott was not trying to hide from law enforcement. Detective Grogan said Scott's purchase of only $13 gas on the way home from the marina on the 24th was suspicious. But Garris produced records from the previous several months, which included at least 10 $13 or under purchase on gas. Now, why would you say that's suspicious? Who gives a fuck if he bought $13 worth of gas? Well, I guess you're trying to say that he went down there and dumped the body and he filled up his tank. So if the cops looked at his truck, they wouldn't say that he went to the marina. He fucking said it right off the bat. He went and lost his boat. He went fishing. It means nothing, but yet you're giving the fucking defense another 10 times to produce receipts where he puts a small amount of gas in his truck. Look, every time I get in the vehicle with my daddy and he can't drive anymore, I put him in a seat and I seat buckle him in. You know what the first thing he asked me? How much gas you got in your truck? Right? He's so worried that I'm run out of fucking gas. Now, look, I do press my truck to the limit where the idiot light comes on and remind you need gas. But my daddy, I can promise you, put $10 every time he had to stop or something, whatever. He kept his shit full. So that doesn't prove anything except for you did a shitty fucking job. Scores. All right. On July the 25th, 2003, the Medina safe was destroyed by Modesto Police Department after the defense had requested access to it so they could fingerprint it and do other forensic testing. Ooh, bad shit. And in so many different ways. And you say, oh, it was an accident. But if I'm the defense, I'm about to have a field day on that motherfucker, because the fingerprint that's come, that tape that they're testing now, 20 years later, could have come back. That's what they're going to say. Could have come, if it comes back to anybody but Scott, they're going to come back and say, we'll never know because they destroyed the safe. And that, to me, y'all, is the, if he is innocent, the most likely thing that happened. And burglars generally don't kill people. The most likely thing that happened is she maybe did have Mackenzie, maybe was going for a walk, or just taking Mackenzie out to take a leak. And she sees them. She's a good neighbor. She goes and approaches them, confronts them, and they snatch her ass up. Yeah. And I mean, they can't say that it didn't happen. So that, with the tape being lost and the tape from the jailhouse phone call and everything else, holy fuck, it scorched. And remembering, I'm on the cop's side if he's guilty. So on July 25th, 2003, I already told you about that. So when asked by Grogan on, Detective Grogan, on February 18th, if he was having trouble sleeping, Scott said, at least at home, he had the comfort of the smell of Lacey in the bed. I think that is, I mean, even if he's guilty, he would say that, right? But he did a lot of other score shit on his end in the house, selling her shit and all that as soon as she went missing, ordering her porn and everything else. So that's I mean, that's one where the defense is doing too much, I think. But Grogan reports that when Lacey asked about housing in the San Luis Obispo area in May of 2002, that she had the broker looking at houses in the range of $400,000 to $600,000. Okay. Don't know why they're using that. Maybe talking about the inheritance or whatever. I don't know. But Scott told Detective Grogan that last time he had walked with Lacey was on December the 16th. And Grace Wolf said she saw Scott and Lacey walking together on December the 22nd. Kind of bad for both parties, I would think. That Scott got it, if Scott got it wrong and Grace Wolf got it right, either way, it's scorched. Detective Grogan said the Lacey sightings were dismissed because of the distance between them, and they did not fall into the 10:08 to 10:18 a.m. timeline. And that's probably one of the most scorched things there is, because that's his 10:08 to 10:18 a.m. timeline. Yeah, with the phone and everything else, he is already saying that she is dead. He's adamant she's dead. He's got in her truck. He's on the way to dump her body. Look, sightings are sightings, and eyewitness sightings are the worst testimony there is. But if I walk into a Walmart and I rob the motherfucker, and 100 of y'all are in there, and I'm waving the gun around and I'm screaming, whatever, and I leave, and the detectives come in, they interview the 100 people, I guarantee you 89 out of the 100 are going to have different things. They're going to say, well, he was, you know, 200 pounds, or he had black hair, or he had brown hair, or whatever. But the general description, the general overall characteristics are going to be the same. All right. You have to be able to present that to a jury, and they reasonably infer, okay, well, they're still talking about the same motherfucker, right? It's the same time frame, even though this one said he was a little bit taller, this one said he was a little bit shorter, this one said he's fatter, whatever. They're still picking her out and saying this was her. You cannot discount that. And if he gets a fucking another trial, he's going to walk, y'all. I mean, sitting back and playing armchair quarterback is easy for somebody like me that has experience. But other than him, Fry, I mean, there's a lot of other shit, bad shit, score shit Scott did. But, I mean, it's horrible what he did and the evidence that they have. But if they had done their fucking jobs, man, we wouldn't be talking about this. I know I say that every episode. All right, we're going to move on to prosecution witness number 162, Ron Schweitzer, the San Diego County Sheriff's Office. Now, Schweitzer was part of the surveillance team set up by the California Department of Justice on April 16th. And Scott stopped at some point when they're remembering that he thought the paparazzi or whatever you call him was chasing him. He said that Scott stopped alongside his unmarked car and asked him what agency he was with, state or local. And he told Schweitzer that he knew he had been following him all morning. And Scott also took down his license plate number. In the defense, Garagos and Cross noted that the surveillance team members intentionally did not want to be recognized as police, and Scott thought they were members of the press. And this one really fucks Scott up, okay? Scott said the whole time, and he even said on the phone call with his brother, if you remember that, that, oh, I think the press is following me, man. I'm trying to dodge them, da-da-da-da-da. Well, I don't believe Ronald Schweitzer is going to risk his whole fucking career and get it wrong that Scott stopped and said what agency, U.S. state or local or whatever. That is scorched as fuck on Scott's part, all right? Because he figured his sugar was turning to shit and he was about to get arrested. So let's go back to Detective Craig Grogan again, Modesto Police Department. So Burgett Flagler began her redirect examination of Detective Grogan. Now, Bridget Flagler being with the prosecution, y'all. So prosecution spends all this time with this dude. Defense gets up, rips his shit to shreds, a lot of it, and now they get to redirect. You know, judge says that defense is like, no further questions, Your Honor. And then they're like, prosecution, you have anything further? And Miss Flagler says, yes, Your Honor, a couple questions. And here we go. So, Grogan is on the stand again, prosecution witness number 159. And Flagler points out the discrepancy between Grace Wolfe's statement that she last saw Scott and Lacey walking together on Sunday, December 22nd, and Scott's statement that he last went walking with Lacey on Tuesday, December 16th. Okay, pointed out, whatever. Now, Gargos quiz Grogan again about the chicken wire in the eventual law enforcement conclusion that it had nothing to do with Lacey's murder. But Grogan said that law enforcement never told Dr. Ching, their expert hydrologist witness, that chicken wire had been eliminated as a theory. Whatever, bro. If I'm on the jury at this fucking point, I'm like, you're trying to cover your ass, right? So Gargos reviewed again with Grogan the times that other family members referred to Lacey in the past tense. But Detective Grogan insisted doing so that when Scott referred to her in the past tense, that it is suspicious depending on a number of factors. Right? There's no scientific evidence that one person speaking one way or another. Now, yes, it could raise your hairs as a detective, but other people were doing it too. All right. And I wouldn't have even said that shit out loud. I would have put it in my detective spank bank, if you will. So in response to Grogan's statement under redirect, the Scott asked about the investigation. He didn't ask about it on a daily or weekly, but he did ask about it, you know, at least once a month. Gargos noted that he had 11 contacts within the first 10 days, and he contacted others all the time. And Scott's admission to Brent Rocha, Lacey's brother, that Modesto Police Department wouldn't tell him anything. They're only talking to that lady, Kim Peterson. And Gargos asked Grogan if he really expected Scott to continue to contact him after February 19th, when Grogan made no secret that he believed that Scott murdered Lacey. Valid point, right? Kind of bad on Scott that he's not inquiring, but he at least should have had his lawyer inquire, right? If you're so concerned. Man, if I was fucking innocent, dude, of my wife and baby being missing, I would wear their ass out. And so that's kind of bad on Scott. But let's see where we're at. So Grogan admitted that Detective Grogan admits that Scott told Modesto Police Department about his inert search of fishing sites before they did the search warrant on the warehouse. Okay. And when asked why Scott was going fishing on Christmas Day, was suspicious. But Ron Gransky doing the same thing, going fishing on the same day, was not. Detective Grogan said that was common behavior for Ron, but uncommon for Scott. I don't know. Neither here nor there. I mean, he went fishing. He didn't open his lures. He was wrong time of the year. All that is bad on Scott. So he said, regarding Lacey, looking for houses in the range of $400,000 to $600,000 in San Luis Obispo, Gargos asked Detective Grogan if he knew what Lacey's annual salary was in 2002. in 2002, $6,000 and the inheritances she was receiving from Rocha grandparents. Now, Grogan was not aware, but he insisted that financial pressure was there. Motherfucker, you don't know, right? So Garagos then plays the tape of Scott calling the Modesto Police Department and asking to be able to see that video from the Longview surveillance tape, because he, better than strangers, would be able to tell if it was Lacey on the video. Detective Grogan said no one at Modesto Police Department ever viewed the video, but they relied solely on the witnesses from Longview saying that it was Lacey. What the fuck? I mean, you got to bring this in on Brady. I get that. But you took the time to go get the motherfucking video, or they sent it in, and you took a time to get a statement from a person saying that it was Lacey. Why in the fuck wouldn't you look at it? Because it doesn't fit your shit, right? Doesn't fit your confirmational bias. So fucking scorched, dude. I'm telling you, Modesto Police Department, you got lots of problems. You better pray to God this dude doesn't get another trial, because they will be ready on all this bullshit that I'm telling you about on Scorch. All right.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Garagos, defense attorney, also noted that Modesto Police Department's time frame of 10:08 to 10:18 on December 24th was not regarded at the time that most of the sightings were reported. Now, they instead used a general timeline between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. Now, think about that, y'all. They go back. They get all these sightings of Lacey, some of them that they never even fucking investigated. And they're in that time. They're using an hour time frame, okay? They go back and they narrow it down to 10:08 to 10:18 based off cell phones and all that bullshit. They narrow it down to that time frame. Then they're like, fuck it. We got it. We don't need to interview these other people. Scorched. The dude, I mean, I don't know him. I think he's a fucking sleazeball. I watched his interview, you know, the latest one and everything else. I think he's sleazy as fuck. Does that prove that he's a killer? Nope. And Garagos did a good job. But in April 2004, a man came forward when he heard the Modesto Police Department was saying that Lacey had stopped walking before the December 24th because she was so pregnant, right? He said he saw Lacey walking her dog down in Encina 2 weeks before she disappeared. Now, he didn't come forward before because he didn't want the media attention, okay? Let him come forward. Use his shit. And it's okay if he saw her 2 weeks before. She might have been feeling better that day, right? So Detective Grogan admits that with the January 2nd release of the photos of Scott's boat and truck that he released to the media, the emphasis had shifted to investigating the Scott sightings instead of Lacey sightings. Meaning, hey, motherfucker, we want to find people who saw you at the marina. Hopefully they saw a blue tarp in your boat. You know, I told you when you're launching boats down boat ramps, you got the piers on the side that where people could step down, somebody standing on there fishing or whatever, they can look in your boat and see it. That kind of gives me a little bit of pause about that theory. I don't know. I mean, Grogan admitted that they quit fucking following up on the Lacey leads, which is just I mean, if you get more squirts than that and you're on the jury, the dude would have walked. Detective Grogan said he did not know that the dining table Scott tried to protect by slipping paper under the receipt Detective Boyer was writing belonged to his mom, Jackie, who was present, and he did not inquire as to whether Lacey was particular about people writing on the table. Holy fuck, that's so stupid. I mean, so easily explainable. They're trying to make like he's trying to hide something, and now he's saying, look, I'm just putting something, your detective was writing on my table, it's going to leave marks, and it will, a wooden table, you write straight through a piece of paper, and y'all know that, it'll leave a mark if you press down hard, and it's easily explainable, even if he was being nefarious and hiding shit, that's his explanation, and why are you even talking about it, stupid. And let's go to Dr. Boyd Stevens told Detective Grogan that 30 pounds would not be enough to sink Lacey's body weight, especially if she was wrapped in plastic, and that the body would travel a considerable distance before hanging up on something or the weights would catch and stay in place. And when the body did, if it did, lodge in place, it would still be in pristine condition. We know that's not the case. She was missing all her shit, right? I think Grogan did more harm to this case, not because he's a bad detective. He just did bad work, right? He was punting outside his fucking coverage. He's not used to, I mean, you've heard me, they must have 30 fucking detectives work from Modesto Police Department. I still don't know how big they are, but he's not prepared. And the prosecution is not prepared for Garagos to make this his sole ambition and know everything that they're coming with and have this. There's no smoking gun that proves he did or didn't do it. But if you don't have, or the defense throws enough shade that they didn't follow up on these other things. These are other possible theories that could have happened. And some of them are very plausible, like the burglars. And the defense throws that shade. Well, fuck you. It's an American justice system. You got to find him not guilty. Right? But we're going to continue next week with it, y'all, and it's just, I don't want to get off of this. I know it's the longest story I ever told. It's not going to be that much longer, but you see where the meat is. This is, you don't hear about all the shit on the documentaries. Why? But I'm telling you, those documentaries, I won't even say the names of which ones, but each one of them was put out by a different side of the family. One being Scott's family, the other one being from Lacey's family's point of view. And the sad thing about media is, and people don't know that I've turned down 9 of my own television shows. Media companies want me to do them, and they want to shake. They will, because I did one, and I said, "Fuck that! I don't want to do TV." Right? And I'm not even going to tell you, but I'm listed as an investigative producer on that show, and I'm not going to tell you which one it is because I'm embarrassed about it. And it was for Discovery ID. Discovery ID isn't the problem. It's these media companies that you do the filming for. They twist it the way they want to twist it. Then they sell it to Discovery ID. Discovery ID doesn't know if it's false or not false or whatever. This case, holy fuck. These documentaries that made this case come back famous again. It's like the Menendez brothers shit. Man, fuck them motherfuckers. Look, people get, no doubt their dad raped them and shit. The people's parents rape them all the time, and if they kill them, they're going to kill them in self-defense, right? They blew their fucking parents apart with shotguns and had to go outside and get more shells to come back in and shoot their mama who was dragging herself across the floor. And these motherfuckers won't let them out? Shit, they should have been dead. But it and Scott Peterson's case, had they done the work and had not been scorched and it wouldn't, it's sensational. I get it. That's why I'm covering it, right? Because I've been asked for all these years to do it. And it's sensational. Husband, who was at one time on death row, and convicted of murder and his wife and baby. How much more sensational does it get than that? Got a girlfriend, did this, did that, da-da-da-da. When you come back to it, man, the jurors getting dismissed, all the shit I've told you about. You come back to it, this case is as scorched as anything I've ever seen. But it's not just because of one great big thing. It's because of 150 little things that I've told you about. So I'm going to conclude this week's episode. Happy Thanksgiving week to y'all. And the next time you hear a Scott Peterson episode, it'll be the weekend after Thanksgiving. And I'm sure you all be shopping and shit like that. I hope you enjoy your turkey day and all that good shit. LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. You know, they're my jam. You don't have to be a lifer from Louisiana to sign up to be an organ donor and be a hero. You could be a lifer from Tupelo, Mississippi. I love me some Elvis. I just watched a new documentary on him. Tupelo, Mississippi. Go to LOPA.org. Take 2 minutes. Fill out the questionnaire and become a hero. Give the gift of sight and life and then all that great shit that they do. They are a nonprofit. And they are my jam. Love LOPA. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on murder. Bye.
Yeah, the rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
And the wolf is at your door.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.